Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Religious Education for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, for Labors of Love, and I'm here with my guest, Deacon Stephen Nolte. We are discussing Love is Our Mission, the Family Fully Alive, and we are moving on to segment 5, Creating the Future. Deacon Nolte, can you start us with prayer?
Of course. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God and Father of us all, in your Son, Jesus, you have made us your sons and daughters in the family of the Church. May your grace and love help our families throughout the world be united to one another in fidelity to the gospel. May the example of the Holy Family, with the aid of your Holy Spirit, guide all families, especially those most troubled, to be homes of communion and prayer, and to always seek your truth and live in your love. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Now, we've been talking about various topics, human sexuality to becoming one, and now we're going to focus on creating the future. And right away, I think about children. I think about welcoming new life. And at one point, Deacon Nolte, would you say that there was maybe a misconception on marital love and the sole purpose of conjugal relationships was to bear children?
Well, I think that, yes, at certain times in the history of man, we have looked at that and focused on that. And, I mean, so much so that if you go to the Old Testament, there were times in which the people of the Bible practiced polygamy in order to make sure that they had children, that Sarah presented Abraham with her own handmaid in order to have a child because he had been barren. You know, the issue of children was so important to people for the future that they went to sometimes extremes in order to have children. It's only in recent times, within the past 100 years, that we've really got this whole understanding and kind of twisted it around to say it's not about having children, it's only about being happy and satisfying yourselves. And yet, the whole premise of marriage and this study in particular on the family speaks to the fact that we are called to be fruitful by having children, but also fruitful in ways of spiritual growth and love and caring for one another, fruitful within society, not simply to have children, but also to have that unifying factor of our conjugal love. So it's a both. It's not one or the other. It's actually a combination of both.
Now, when we are in marriage preparation and preparing for the sacrament of marriage and enter into the sacrament of marriage, it's important that the spouses are willing to give each other freely to have children.
To be open to life, yes, absolutely.
Now, in today's society, contraception is such a big deal. If you don't want to have children, you don't have to just use all these hormones to stop your procreation.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. I mean, when you go into that whole area, the whole realm, there's discussions can take place that are just mind-blowing at times concerning our fertility and the way that we practice it today in the world, in our culture. And when we use the word contraception, you know, we're actually, when you think about the meaning of the word, it means against conception. And what we're actually doing is it's a lie. It's a lie from the beginning, because what it does is it doesn't so much prevent it as it tells the body that it's already conceived. You know, the estrogen, the hormones that are given, the contraception pill actually tells the body that it's already pregnant, so it doesn't need to be producing or ovulating. And so it actually flips what it says it's doing. It doesn't just simply prevent.
That's pretty deceitful.
It is. I mean, flat out, that's basically what it's doing. And, you know, we are meant to be fertile. Marriage is meant to be fertile and to welcome life. God said from the very beginning to, you know, have dominion and to multiply. He wanted man and woman to come together in this union. So there's a unity that goes with it as well as a fertility, that it is a combined responsibility that we have towards creation.
In the opening of this session, it says that marriage is meant to be fertile and to welcome new life. Children shape the future just as they themselves are shaped in their families. Without children, there can be no future. Children reared with love and guidance are the foundation for a loving future. Wounded children portend a wounded future. Families are the bedrock for all larger communities. Deacon, when we say that families are the domestic church, what do we mean to say by that?
That's one of my favorite subjects to talk about, honestly. Domestic church, family is domestic church, is really the church lived out within the home. It is the family living the example of who the church is, of the Trinity within the home setting, that it's there that children first learn their faith. It's there that husband and wives nurture and nourish one another, that we not only shape each other by words and love, but it's that place where we actually begin to learn who and what we are. That is the place where we are supposed to learn what it means to be in relationship with one another. And I think that within the sacrament of God's covenant, that this is an important part of it, because men and women there not only encounter their own fertility, but they also encounter what it means to be fertile in love, not physically, but spiritually. How do we grow? How do we continue to move toward a future? How do we journey towards God and this ultimate love for which we yearn?
And as a matter of fact, we learn that there is a spiritual vocation of parenting, and that it's important when you're discussing with your spouse before and during marriage, if you want to have children, because as we read here, there are real and legitimate human, physical, economical, psychological, and social conditions which husbands and wives should consider in their discernment. Now, in the end, we're called to be open and be fruitful, but there are certain things that might limit how fruitful we are.
Well, you know, Margaret, when we look at it, when we understand, first off, that marriage is a communion of both, a community of both life and love, and that it goes much further than that. The sacrament of marriage makes the power of God's covenant fidelity visible in a very real way in the family, but also available to the husband and wife, and that this spiritual foundation gives us a deeper rationale for welcoming children as an extension of God's divine generosity. Now, within that context, God also allows there to be infertility. He also allows some of us to grow in ways of love that are contradictory or seem to be to what we think being fruitful means. Fruitfulness is not just progeny. It's not just having children. It's also growing in love, that love should be a love that is fruitful to everyone we encounter. You know, there are many people who are infertile in life, who go through life without having children as a married couple, and yet they are spiritual father and mothers to so many people, to priests, to religious, to nieces and nephews, to brothers and sisters, to orphans, to so many, that there is a spiritual component that is necessary. And we need both types of parenting. We need that which is spiritual, that teaches us to love in a very real way, but we also need that which is brings us into life, brings us into being in the cooperation with God's plan for man.
So, Deacon, when we look at being parents, what are some of the things that we need to consider? What is the goal of becoming a parent? What are we trying to share with our children? What is the bigger plan, the bigger purpose?
Parents' role is very important in the sense that it's in the Christian family that we first find the education to prayer. It's within the family that we become that sign and image of God's communion of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's in the family that we learn to pray. It's in the family that we begin to draw our sustenance from the larger communion or community of the church, the whole body of Christ. All of these things are discovered within the family. And as parents, it's our task and responsibility in this communion of persons that this intimate community of life and love is transmitted to the children, that they learn that they are safe, that they are loved, that they're protected, that they themselves are a living reflection of God's love for humanity and a real sharing in that love.
So we're constantly pointing them to God.
That is yes, absolutely. And within that, the key thing that for parents and children, discernment is key. Discernment is very important. That in this culture of death, we look around us and we see what is going on out there. And the fundamental task of marriage and family is to be at the service of life and remain in the forefront of that domestic church within the family.
It's so important that in our marriage preparation, our people are called to know what it means to have children, learn about the responsibilities of having children. Now, there's no handbook that tells us what's going to happen once we have children, but just some experiences, some words of wisdom, because parenting is definitely not easy.
Well, it can be stressful, and I think anybody who's a parent will tell you that's an understatement, and it definitely is. But at the same time, it is so rewarding. It is so uplifting to us to know that we share in the possibility of bringing life into existence, and not just that physical life. And unfortunately, we do that in the beginning when we're conceiving children, and then we're giving birth to children, and we're holding them for the first time. You see the eyes of the parents, that child can do no wrong. And then the next thing you know, we're talking, and I think I referred to this in session two, all of a sudden we're looking at them saying, where did these demon children come from?
The terrible twos.
And what's happened is they're learning to be just like us, just don't see ourselves that way.
Yeah.
And so the divine love that we have to share in the midst of our fatigue, in our the chaos of work and life, and you know, the water not running today because we had floods and the water main in the street broke, so now you can't wash clothes, and then you can't do the dishes, and you can't shower, and you're in the midst of all these very things that are happening. As parents, you still have to be faithful to that. You still have to love that child in spite of those moments.
We're going to take a quick break. Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love.
Crecio is a movement focusing on helping Christian lay people become effective Christian leaders. Included in a Crecio weekend are numerous talks, some by a priest, some by lay people, and the goal is for those attendees to take what they've learned back into the world. An important point that is stressed is personal, spiritual development. The Corpus Christi Crecio Center, 1300 Lantana, will offer a men's Crecio in English the weekend of August 6th through 9th. For more information, call Gloria Franco, 249-2450.
Welcome back to Labors of Love. I'm here with my guest, Deacon Stephen Nolte, and we are on Session 5, Creating the Future, From Love is Our Mission, The Family Fully Alive. Deacon Nolte, it's important that we understand the reality of parenting and that we need God in our parenting relationships.
We have to look to God always to guide us, because it is so easy to get caught up in the everyday that our children are just like we are. And we need God's guidance, because He treats us with such love and such kindness and mercy and compassion, and occasionally that slap on the wrist that we need to have. But it's through learning that from our Heavenly Father that we know how to treat our children. You know, I think that the great thing about having children is that they bring a certain humility to us. We realize that we're no longer self-sufficient. We know that we need help and strength from others, that we cannot do this alone. And quite honestly, you know, it's an adversarial thing with parents and children, because those children want to grow up and become their own person, and yet the parent is trying to form and direct them. And we do this to God. And if we keep our relationship with God intact and in the right area, it will guide us to what we need to be as parents and help us. And so it's very important that we allow the domestic places that we encounter to be guided by the light of God in our life.
So in other words, as we go about our daily business in parenting, it shouldn't just become a routine. I get up, I get my kids ready, I give them breakfast, I take them to school, I pick them up from school, et cetera, et cetera. But we should find opportunities to really share in the divine life with God, with our children.
Well, you know, the routine is not bad necessarily in and of itself. Within that routine, every day, you know, the challenge is to find joy. You know, St. Teresa of Lisieux spoke to the little ways of love, and it's in those routines that we learn to love in those little ways. That moment when that child every morning doesn't want to put on their shoes, doesn't want to get their hair combed.
Or brush their teeth.
Or brush their teeth, or get ready for school, or I don't want to get out of bed, do I have to go? And you're trying to get ready to go to work, which you know you have to do. You know, those are those moments in which we reach into ourselves and we really rely on God to guide us and give us that moment of love and mercy and compassion. And that within that, we really come to understand that there are always new ways of being challenged. But within that routine, that daily routine, we have to find those moments every day that this is a gift from God. That this moment, this particular moment, even as a repeat of yesterday, it is still a gift of God, because it could have been that I didn't wake up this morning.
Well, that's a good point. And like you said, it's an opportunity to share in God's love and mercy. Patience, learning how to be patient as a parent, I think, is also very important.
That comes in really, Margaret, when we think about being a domestic church and then being, you know, in the church at large and entering into our parish life. I think that we also have to understand within the culture that we have, we do not remember so well what it means to be silent, what it means to listen. And yet, if we really want to improve our lives and get better at where we are, we have to be willing to hear God's word, which means we have to learn to listen better. We have to be silent. Allow his words to be richer than our words, because so often we place our words in front of his. We want to go out and try to be the ones of wisdom, but we first have to be enlightened by God's word. And as we do that, as we enter into that, as we go more fully into the word of God, and we do so with a certain excitement, you know, we as adults, yeah, we know who we are and we know where we're going. We have our jobs, we have our task as parents, but at the same time, we have a responsibility to allow that Spirit to live and shine through us, that we cannot hold it to ourselves, but that we have to excitedly reach out to our children and let them see the value of what we have learned, that what we're trying to teach them is not just to tell them, you got to do it this way, but that they should be excited about the possibility of doing it.
Well, if I think of my own children, I have a 10-year-old daughter, a 7-year-old daughter, and a 15-month-old son. What just crossed my mind was, what is my goal in raising them? And my goal would be to help them build a good relationship with God so that they can one day get into heaven and be in eternity with him.
Well, everything that we do should be giving glory to God. And the raising of our children, the loving and caring of and for our spouses, mm-hmm. because that time is going to come that those children are going to go out on their own and they're going to be doing the same things that we're trying to do now. And yet, as we go further into life, we have to have that understanding that there's much more. And the challenge that we will have to love at that time and remain domestic church, you know, to remain a people of faith, is in serving one another. Because the older you get and you begin to encounter infirmities, and you have to start caring for one another in new ways you didn't maybe expect from the beginning.
So in other words, parents are called to care for their children and children are called to care for their parents.
It goes both ways. Absolutely. And the wonderful thing about it is it doesn't just stop there. It's not just in the home. You see, we have a bigger community. And that bigger community is, yes, it's our aunts and uncles, our cousins, our grandparents, but it's also our parish community. How do we care for others in our parish community? How do we give that example not only to our children, but to our brothers and sisters in Christ? And how do we go into that? What does it mean to be a member of the family of God?
So we learn also that the family and the parish depend on one another. How so? Because we've kind of moved away from parish life. I think maybe just in general, the parish is not the home and school of communion anymore, and we're trying to get back to that.
Well, I think we've lost our way so many in so many ways culturally. So many people have left the church, but at the same time, we tend to follow priests. Well, this priest doesn't preach well. I'm not happy with that. This priest over there scolded me once because I walked in the middle of the homily, which we should all know better than that, but it does happen, you know, and there may be a legitimate reason for it having happened. However, we fail to see quite often, and we're all guilty of it, from the priest to the deacon to the people in the pew and the people coming in late. We fail to see that the parish is really a family of families. It's really a gathering place, a community. And within that family, all the things we encounter at home, we encounter in the parish too. Sometimes daddy's not up to par. Sometimes daddy, the priest, if you will, is, you know, he's down sick. And he didn't get to prepare as well as he normally would have for a homily per se. Or, you know, other things come up in, you know, within the parish family. And so we have to look at that and say, but we have a responsibility. The domestic church, our family life is there to serve the parish and is also to be served by the parish. And more than that, even more than that, is that it's not limited to the parish, but it's to serve the whole body of Christ everywhere in the world. Not just right here, everywhere.
So in other words, the family who's called to serve one another then offers service to the parish and vice versa. And then we're called to go out into the larger community to serve the homeless, to serve those that are in prison, to serve those that have no clothing.
To serve everyone who is vulnerable or has need, those who are marginalized. It's not just those necessarily who are in prison. Yes, that is some of them. Those in nursing homes, those who may be dying. You know, there are so many. But even within our own family, we have our brothers and sisters who are divorced. We have children being raised by mom or dad alone. We have children being raised by grandparents because their parents may be incarcerated. Where are we as a parish in that family setting? How are we caring for our very own brothers and sisters? And then beyond the boundaries of that parish, how do we reach out to our greater community that's suffering the same thing?
So in other words, we are called to share the love that we have within the domestic church, the family. And because of this outpouring of love, and we learned in earlier segments that our vocation is to love, we will be attracted to serving one another.
That is true. And I think something that comes into play with that is that we have to really understand that what did St. Paul tell the people in Galatia? You know, he talked to them about bearing one another's burdens. He talked to them about when you do this, you fulfill the laws of Christ. You fulfill the love, the command that Christ has given you to love one another. And isn't that what we're really created for, is to follow God's way of love? And Jesus exemplifies that way of love. And so within our parish, within our home, within our greater community of our city, our state, our nation, and in the community of the world, we have a tremendous responsibility to love and care for one another. And as parents, how can we better teach our children? You know, that's our responsibility, is to show them that greater vision.
Love.
Love. Love. Simply put, love, but also very difficult to do.
Stay with us. Sacred Moments with Deacon Stephen Nolte is up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
Children have a natural gift for fantasy and the same gift for belief. There are, of course, many differences between the two. Fantasy involves pretending that something is really something other than what it is. For example, a stick becomes a sword in the hands of a boy. For a girl, it might be a magic wand, while a doll becomes a real baby when the same girl plays house. Pretending is the magic of childhood, and it's what happens when children fantasize, when they let their imagination run free. On the other hand, belief is the opposite of fantasy, because it engages what is real and forms a relationship with it, based on what it is rather than what it might be. A child who grows up with loving parents, who provide food to eat and a warm bed to sleep in, believes with simple confidence that there will be a comforting voice in times of distress. The child knows and believes that someone will be there to take care of them, to protect them. This belief allows them to form relationships with what is real, with their parents and family, with teachers and friends. In the same way, they believe the promises of the Bible stories they hear. God will stand by them. He will protect them and guide them. The church and the rest of the world, along with the saints, are seen as good. Jesus, talking to his disciples, tells us, "Whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it." He wants to remind us that we have to distinguish between what is real and what is not. Unfortunately, as we grow older, the world becomes complex and painful. The lines between belief and fantasy blur. We experience trials and hardships. Our early beliefs are challenged, and it seems easier and less painful to escape into the fantasies of the world. Video games replace playing with friends face to face. Movies offer heroes who don't die. Actors and actresses take the places of saints. And pretty soon, there is little left to believe in. The same happens in our relationship with God. The storms from which we were protected as children become storms that rage within us as our need for something sustainable to believe in increases. Where once we knew light, now there is only darkness. When we try to recover something of what we did believe in and begin to read Scripture, we often make the mistake of finding that one verse or another that seems to fit our need. We take it out of context, and making it a motto of sorts, try to make it fit as an answer to all of our questions and doubts. Here we are, trying to move from the fantasy of the world into a new fantasy of our own construction. We try to make God fit into our imagined fantasy world, and it doesn't work. We become more confused and lose hope. Jesus also told his disciples, "Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear." He gave us all the answers that we need, if only we listen to everything he tells us. If we want to live in confidence and joy like a child, then we have to embrace everything Jesus offered. May you come to know the truth, and may it set you free in the Word of God, which is the truth. And may you see through the eyes of a child, trusting your Heavenly Father in the sacred moments of your life. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Deacon Stephen Nolte, as we discussed creating the future. In Love is Our Mission, the Family Fully Alive. Join us next week as we discuss All Love Bears Fruit. We look forward to you joining us.
This has been Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. If you'd like to hear this or a previous program again, or download it to your device, browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Religious Education, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.